The Live Drive with Andy Udman. Call now. 519-643-1290. News Talk 1290. CJBK.
Paul, we're less than an hour away from the Ontario budget. What worries you most?
Well, that we're going to see even worse than what's been released already. What really concerns me here is they're continuing with this unjustified excuse that by spending, by charging us more, by taxing us more, by taking money from those who earn it and giving it to those who don't, somehow the government will be able to control the climate.
Of all the disasters the Liberals have given us, which one is your favorite slash least favorite?
No question, wind and solar power is the absolute worst policy this government has adopted.
You know what most patients do just before the doctor sticks the needle in their arm, that look on their face? All of Ontario has that look on their face right now.
The Live Drive with Andy Udman. Call now. 519-643-1290. News Talk 1290. CJBK.
Of all the disasters the Liberals have given us, which one is your favorite slash least favorite?
No question, wind and solar power is the absolute worst policy this government has adopted.
I want to go now to Paul McKeever, the leader of the Ontario Freedom Party. Paul, I appreciate you joining us.
No problem, Andy.
I just want to check your blood pressure a moment here. We're 11 minutes now away from the Ontario budget. Are you nervous?
Well, I think all of Ontario is probably sitting on the edge right here wondering what the next assault's going to be on our wallets, but also on our future. So, yes, I would say so. You know, I heard Ted Wernham on your program just a minute ago, and I'll tell you, he knocked a few points right out of the park there. The pension plan, why, in fact, does the government have to start its own pension plan if, in fact, all it's really concerned with is seniors having money? They don't need to start their own pension plan, and I think I've said to you in the past that my concern would be that the money, gets used more as, or the fund, rather, gets used more as a wealth redistribution or another form of welfare, and may even be used to pay for other programs. So I'm really concerned about what we don't yet know about this budget. We know some of the things. The things I have seen, I haven't seen anything in there that would indicate how exactly they plan to balance the budget by 2017-2018. I think that's a bit of a joke. I can't understand why they continue to tell that joke, but they've been telling it now since, I think, 2011, and haven't really done any, made any progress toward that goal.
Because the fact is, you know, Dalton McGuinty left a deficit of $10 billion. Then there was a target of 12.5. Now we're told that under Kathleen Wynne it's going to be dropped to 11. Where the heck is it?
Well, the last measure I had was about 10.45 or something. It's really hard to say exactly until we see the budget document. My concern is that just since 2012, put this in perspective, in 2012, our total debt, so the accumulated deficits over all of our history, was at around $214 billion. And right now, if we're looking at another, say, $10 or $11 billion in deficit for this year, another $10 to $11 billion, we're encroaching on $300 million, which is about a 40% increase in just 3 years. So that's like taking your $10,000 credit card debt and cranking it up to $14,000, or $100,000 in overall debt, cranking it up to $140,000 in just 3 years. And yet revenues haven't been increasing. Revenues have been going down, if anything. Especially when you take into account inflation.
Give us those numbers again, because we harp on those numbers a lot, but you've put them so simply, and I'm just shocked again at how this has happened in just a short period of time. And it probably is the number one issue in Ontario. We are up to our eyeballs in debt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the numbers again, 3 years ago, $214 billion. What I expect today, something in the range of $300 billion. In other words, a roughly 40% increase in just 3 years.
If you were a private citizen spending like that, you'd be arrested.
Well, you know, I think if the average person did that, knowing that there was just no way they could actually collect the money, it would be called fraud, not just theft.
Paul, run down what you are looking for this afternoon. Much of what's going to be in this package. Let's just review what's already been announced for this package, then we'll look at what hasn't been announced and what you're looking for. What are the things that have been announced that you either applaud or are concerned about?
Well, I honestly, and I'm not just trying to be partisan against about this, I don't really have anything to applaud. You might think that I would applaud, the greater convenience of beer in corner stores, convenience stores, but my suspicion there is that there will be all kinds of strings attached. For example, that the people selling the beer within the store might have to be unionized employees, government employees. I'm not all that convinced that they're going to raise $100 million, as they say they will, by simply moving where the beer is purchased. So that's one thing. The other thing is this selling the one-time sale of 60% of Ontario Hydro. I'm not necessarily against privately operated electricity sector, but I am concerned with this short-sighted sale of 60% of the asset. You can, as someone else on your program has said earlier today, you can only do that trick once. What happens next year? So this is not a long-term plan. This is a short-term plan over a one budget, year. Next year, the year after that, the year after that. I mean, how many other things can they sell? There aren't that kind. I mean, that's a huge asset, Andy. And for them to be selling 60% of that, they're not leaving themselves with a lot.
Let me ask you. You know, I knew a family some time ago, and I just scratched my head. They had this gorgeous mansion, and people were all talking, "Can you believe the house?" And then we found out about 3 or 4 years later, someone was chatting with them, and they had virtually no furniture because they couldn't afford it. I'm wondering, when you start selling off crown jewels like Hydro One, is that a sign the ship is going down?
Well, I can't. You know, for a government that loves to be a government and to be a bigger government, when you start seeing them selling what they own, that's a bad sign, even for a socialist. That is the sign, in fact, that things are going down. There's no way on earth that this rather left-wing government would ever sell anything, that's government-owned, unless it was in really dire straits, which obviously they are. And of course, they've got their back up against the wall. My son's out of school this week, probably next week too. We're in the Durham area. The teachers are on strike. What's going to happen here? I'll be looking in that budget to see whether there's any money disguised as something that ultimately can funnel its way into teachers' back pockets, because I can't imagine that this early in the game, prior to the election, they won't be still greasing palms to buy silence, to buy cooperation by all of their voters.
We'll have to be really short on this one because there's a couple other issues I want to ask you about. But our CTV reporter Scott Miller went to interview a woman yesterday in the Goderich area about the yet another thorn in the flesh, an annoyance from wind turbines, and that is the blinking light. She says, "I feel like we're living on an airport runway at night." He was going to interview the one woman. 35 of her wind turbine protesting friends who she had never met showed up at her house to make the point. I'm surprised we've talked to you for 5 minutes. You haven't mentioned wind turbines yet.
Well, you caught me in the clip there earlier on. I think that the wind turbines and the solar panels are the biggest scandal that Ontario has ever been forced to suffer. It's been the Liberal plan to do this, and we've seen some of the people who've got these contracts. Not exactly a free and open market, as far as I would say. And besides that, nobody should be getting paid 80 cents a kilowatt hour for that, which can be purchased for 4 cents a kilowatt hour. It's a complete and utter ripoff, and we've got to be pulling those contracts jiffy quick. They won't, of course, till 2018. That'll be the first chance any Ontarian has to put an end to those contracts. But
again, I say, sometimes guests drop a little bombshell, and not that it's a new bombshell, but give us those rates again, what we're paying some of these folks who have wind turbines for the power they're producing, and what the market value is.
Well, the market value depends on what you're comparing it to, but generally speaking, when you were looking at the coal power that we shut down, that could have been made into clean coal, by the way, That was costing us about 4 cents a kilowatt hour. And since then, we've entered into these contracts with gas producers. They're significantly more. It depends, I think, on the contract. So you might be looking at somewhere in the range of 6 to 12%. When you're looking at the initial solar prices were 80, they brought those down, I think, into the 60-cent range. I'm not quite sure where they stand at this point. And then the wind, I think we're looking at, they keep changing the rate. I'm thinking right now they're at 18 cents a kilowatt hour. But whatever it is, it's a multiple of what it would have been on an open and free market. And the only reason they entered into these contracts was because they'd scared everybody off. You'll recall in 2002, it was the PCs actually at that time. They were imposing price controls. They had reversed what Mike Harris had done. That was to get rid of the price controls.
Paul, we have just a moment left. I got two questions for you. One is, are you going to be available a little later on this afternoon? In the next hour, it's going to go crazy with the figures and the announcements, and so we'll be pretty much jammed up probably in the next hour. But between 5 and 6, might we be able to chat with you about what's in the budget?
You've got my number, Andy.
Okay, terrific. And secondly, are you in the mood for a bold prediction about something in the budget that we have not heard about?
I'm not a big one on speculation. I like to wait and see, and so I'll be happy to point out later on what I think is the most egregious abuse. I'll predict this, that there's certainly going to be an abuse of the taxpayer in Ontario.
There we go. Paul, I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. Folks, I'm just reaching over to check my pulse. I can feel it going up by the moment. The Ontario budget is due literally starting in about 2 minutes. We have to go through some protocol. The moment that we're going to hook up with CP24, the moment that they have someone who comes out of the lockout and is in the position of reporting, because we can't break any of the rules, but the moment they're set to go, we're set to go, and you will have all the details. We're going to focus over the next hour and a half entirely on the Ontario budget, because it will affect us even more so than the federal budget. It's a huge story. We're all over it. We'll be back right after a CTV News update right here on the Live Drive with Andy Edmond on News Talk 1290 CJ.